Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to the Pet Pod. This is the podcast that's all about pets. I'm Zara Boland. I'm a vet, a consultant, and an all-round animal lover. And each episode, I'm going to be joined by one or two of my veterinary friends and colleagues from across the pet healthcare industry so that we can offer you handy tips and some expert advice to help keep your beloved family pet healthy and, above all, happy. Today's podcast is supported by YouMove, which is the UK's number one vet joint supplement brand for dogs. It's clinically proven to work in just 6 weeks, and it's recommended for older dogs who are starting to slow down and show some signs of stiffness. Just like my own little girl, Rumba, who's 9 years old. She's a Bernese Mountain Dog, and she's been reaping the benefits of YouMove over the last couple of months as well. But YouMove also has a range of products available to help younger dogs and canine athletes to stay on top form. And it's also available for cats, horses, and even us humans. Now, the team at YouMove are on a mission to make sure that every dog, cat, and horse lives their most active life for life. And that's why they're very generously offering a 40% discount code to anyone who listens to the Pet Pod. So make sure that you visit youmove.co.uk and enter the code PETPOD40 when you get to the checkout. So today we're delving into the world of physiotherapy for our small companion animals. My guest is Hannah Oliver Byrne. Now, Hannah is the chair of the Association of Chartered Physiotherapists and Animal Therapy, which is also known as ACPAT. And she also runs a very busy clinic in Warwickshire where she treats dogs, cats and horses, as well as humans. Hannah, a very big welcome to the Pet Pod. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's an area that I'm really, really interested in, and I have to confess straight away, hands in the air, I don't have an awful lot of knowledge at all about physiotherapy. Obviously, I've referred people to physiotherapists, pet physiotherapists, but I think maybe even before we get into that, I'm really fascinated to learn that you treat people as well as dogs, cats and horses.
Yeah.
That's got to be fairly unusual in the human side of your profession. So how did it come about?
I mean, for me personally, I've always had animals in my life, horses, dogs, cats, everything. And I decided fairly early on that I wanted to be a physiotherapist for people. And then sort of on the grapevine, realised that there was this animal physiotherapy side that you could get into if you wanted to. And so after a bit of practice, a bit of private practice in the human field, I then decided to do a master's in veterinary physiotherapy and go down that route. And I think that's what most of the physiotherapists in the country that are chartered physiotherapists in animal therapy, that's the route that most of us have gone down. There's about 400 of us in the UK. Compared to physiotherapists general, that's quite a marginal amount.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
And most of us work in the human field still, as well as with animals.
Gosh, and so I didn't realise that. I truly didn't. I thought to be a pet physiotherapist, you kind of went down this kind of complementary road where you didn't have to have any human training. So it's great to hear that it's a full degree in people and then on to pets as a second kind of master's degree.
Yeah.
You're super qualified.
Well, it's great because we can transfer our skills in the human world and the evidence base that we've got there into the animal field. And but it's in the UK, it's a bit different in other parts of the world, but in the UK it's not a protected title or a regulated thing. So you could have people that are animal physiotherapists that have gone down a completely different route, that haven't gone human first.
Ah, okay.
So it gets a bit confusing. But from my point of view and from ACPAT's point of view, we're all human first.
So if someone wants to find a physiotherapist then with your level of training, they need to go through the ACPAT website. Is that right?
Yes, there's a bit on there that says find a physio.
Well, what we can do is we can add a link to that so people can find a member in their area if they need it for themselves and their pet.
Yeah, exactly. Tell you what, the number of families that I treat where I'm treating the people and their animals I might as well go and do a home visit and treat mum, dad, children, dog, cat, horse.
Brilliant. You must have a serious surgery set up. I mean, what's your clinic look like?
Well, I've found it easier to have different clinics depending on what species I'm treating at the time.
Fair enough. All right. Well, look, I think maybe... You know, I think this myself and I should know better, but the most common kind of type of physio that we think about when we think of physiotherapy is the hands-on and the manual manipulation of muscles and joints. But, you know, I know that there's a huge variety of physio out there. So what I'd love to do is chat through the different types and the benefits of each one. So can we start with my bog standard basic knowledge of muscle manipulation? And I guess my question there is I'm wondering how easy it is to carry out on, I think cats in particular could be challenging, but in animals in general.
Cats happen to be my favourite species to treat because they are the most challenging. So it really depends on the individual, with all animals, but especially so with cats, because they aren't used to being told to sit still and lie down or, you know, stay. So you have to work. And some cats absolutely love fuss and you can therefore do quite a lot of manual therapy techniques on them with, you know, massage techniques and gentle joint mobilization techniques. They can tolerate them. Some tolerate them quite well. But then you've got other cats that, you know, don't tolerate fuss generally. And that's why, you know, taking a really good subjective history about, you know, talking to the owner rather than the cat. The cat's not going to tell you very much. But talking to the owner initially about, you know, what the cat's like, what the behaviour is like and how they are on a day-to-day basis will tell you a lot about what you'll then be able to do with the cat to achieve the goal that you're aiming for. So some cats you'd end up doing, you know, less hands-on, so you'd use other techniques like electrotherapy, laser therapy or ultrasound therapy or exercise therapy to achieve the same results. And obviously, depending on the animal, you're going to be using varying degrees of pressure. With a cat, you're going to be fairly light on your pressure because they're fairly small.
And well weaponized.
Yes, be prepared to be scratched. But with, you know, with a horse, you've got to have quite a lot of strength to achieve, you know, releasing some of that really tight muscle tissue, myofascial tissue.
Well, yeah, I can imagine trying to mobilize a knee joint in a horse would be incredibly challenging.
Yeah, you've got to be fairly fit and strong to be able to do that. And sometimes, you know, depending on the physiotherapist, you might choose to get that joint moving with an exercise instead, you know, using the horse's body weight to do what you want it to do rather than trying to put all that pressure through yourself.
Well, you'll be in need of the physio yourself.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, I'm fascinated about the cats. And so I assume then with the manipulation or the massage that you're giving to a cat, if it is a hands-on therapy or you're utilizing, then you demonstrate to their owner or the pet parent how to do that themselves at home?
Yeah, you might do if it's something that you think that they would benefit from doing on a, you know, daily or several times a day basis. So typically, a lot of the time post-operatively, for example, with limb problems, you want to get that limb, all those joints moving. And so me or another physiotherapist doing that on a one-off occasion once a week or even twice a week is probably not going to be enough. So showing the owners how to properly and gently mobilise the whole limb and all the joints is really important, so they can do it every couple of hours if necessary to just keep that joint and those limb joints moving so that everything can heal appropriately.
And it can be quite successful, I assume, if you know, it goes well.
Definitely. It's very rewarding to see these animals recover, especially when you've got really great owners that are doing the exercises and following the advice. And actually, most of our clientele, by the time they've got to us, they are really invested, or they're invested in their animals' care enough that most of that owners are better with doing their animals' exercises than they are with themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that typical? You always put yourself kind of at the bottom of the list, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, look, let's talk about the different types of physio. You mentioned a couple of them there just a moment ago. So take us through maybe some of the other options when you're not going to be manipulating hands-on.
Yeah. So the main, there's sort of three main treatments that the physiotherapy as a profession has developed from. So using obviously massage and manual therapy, using electrotherapy or electrical modalities to achieve results, and exercise therapy. So from an electrotherapy point of view, there's quite a bit of research for the, you know, supporting the use of it in aiding healing and pain relief. And it varies with what tools physiotherapists use for what. In the veterinary world, there's a lot of use of laser at the minute, laser therapy to achieve those results. And most of us physios utilize that within our in our treatment plans.
And so with laser therapy, I'm again really interested to hear that falls under electrotherapy, because that word alone kind of almost makes me wince, thinking, oh my gosh, electrical currents, that can't be very pleasant. But it's an umbrella term by the sounds of it.
It is, absolutely. And actually, I think the technical term is being changed, but it's just more of a mouthful. I think it's now called electrophysical therapy agents instead of electrotherapy. So it's just still easier to say electrotherapy.
It sounds a little less scary though when you spell it out in more words.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an umbrella term for all the different types of therapy that might use light or ultrasound or muscle stimulation with a very light electrical current. You know, most people have heard of a TENS machine, for pain relief, and it's all those sort of things underneath that umbrella term, including, you know, electrical magnetic therapy, you know, pulsed electrical magnetic therapy.
Because it's very broad, it's a wide range of options there.
Yeah.
So how do you choose which one to use for each specific situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Most of us don't have all of them, because you would just, you'd end up needing a truck to get from place to place. So so it really depends on the individual case and the individual problem, and also what you're used to using, what you're competent in using as a physiotherapist. So, you know, I personally choose laser therapy and TENS and muscle stimulation machines to do most of the sort of electrotherapy that I do, but colleagues of mine use more ultrasound, use more magnetic therapy devices to achieve their results. And in the literature, it seems that laser therapy and ultrasound therapy seem to have quite a direct effect on local tissue healing. So you can have an impact on how quickly a tendon or ligament or wound heals. Especially with the laser therapy, it's got quite an evidence base for wound healing. And then sort of the muscle stimulation, you'll get a direct impact on one muscle to try and get the muscle to switch on and build up a bit if there's a really weak muscle on one limb, for example.
Okay, now that makes sense. And I have seen an ultrasound used in horses before, specifically for ligament or tendon injury. But I'm really interested in the laser therapy. So when one thinks of laser therapy, for me anyway, I think of a laser that we use in surgery, where you actually, it's quite a hot laser that cuts through tissue, which is what we do in surgery. But I'm pretty sure that's not the laser you're talking about here, is it, Anna?
No, it's not like Austin Powers. We're not going to blow up the world.
So how does it work then?
It's low level. It's lower power laser than those higher power lasers that we know about. So there's most of the literature is in class 3 B lasers and in class 4 lasers for tissue healing. And the way that they class them is literally just on the amount of power that they're providing. But both class 3B and class 4 lasers, they just emit a near-infrared light onto an area, and it's absorbed by the tissues, and that light then being absorbed by the tissues has an impact on how fast the cells can do their job. But the important thing is that with class 3B lasers, it doesn't cause a heating effect. So it's a non-heating, cold laser is a non-heating effect. The class 4s do have more of a heating effect, so therefore you have to move them around, and they're used for a shorter amount of time over an area because they do produce a heating effect. But the end game is the same. You know, you get the treatment effects, whether it's in a slightly shorter time with a slight heating effect or no heating effect with a slightly longer time. But, you know, it's marginal. We're talking seconds rather than, you know, hours or something like that.
I can't imagine a cat standing still for any more than seconds anyway.
You haven't got the time, exactly. And that's another great use of it, why I've ended up using it so much within my practice, is because they don't feel the laser. So if you've got a dog or a cat or even a horse that's really not very tolerant of being touched that much, you can use the laser, which they can't really feel. They've only got to stay still for a short amount of time, and you can get a really quick healing effect going on with the laser, and pain relief as well. So it's really useful on that front, whereas the other modalities usually involve a little bit more, not necessarily, again, that you can feel what they're doing, like from the human literature, but they're a bit more pressure, take a little bit longer. They might have to wear the apparatus longer for it to have the effect.
So I guess what you do then is you decide, once you've met the animal, you've got the full history, and you've had a chance to kind of ascertain their temperament yourself, what they may or may not tolerate in terms of what will be the best option, treatment option to help them.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And then you mentioned also the third type was exercise therapy.
Yeah, exercise therapy, anything that comes underneath that umbrella, exactly. So
I think then of hydrotherapy, would that fall under that?
That would fall under that, exactly. So hydrotherapy is the exercising within water. Whether that is in a pool and you're asking the animals to swim or even stand on a platform within the pool and do exercises in the pool, or on an underwater treadmill therapy.
Yes, I've seen those actually. And how do you find them in terms of, I can speak from my own personal opinion of my dog, who loves to go swimming, for example, in rivers and chasing sticks and stuff. But that's, I would imagine, a very short-term benefit of go in, retrieve the stick, return, versus a therapy session whereby, you know, they're kind of being requested to stay swimming for a lot longer to get that activity and mobility.
Yeah. Not always though. It's okay. Very useful because you can contain them. So whether you're in the pool with the dog, in general you can control how much they're doing, and you can give them lots of rest breaks in between sets, for example. And the same with an underwater treadmill therapy. It's useful because you can assess as well as treat them in the underwater treadmill tank, because they're staying in one place effectively, and you can move around them and you can facilitate them, their movement, to achieve a more optimal movement, as changing the water height. And the water in general, we advise that it's between 26 28 degrees Celsius, so you've got a bit of extra warmth in the water, which is only going to facilitate all that lovely pain relief around joints and limbs, and you get an effect on swelling as well because of the hydrostatic pressure in the water. So you get a lot of benefits other than them just exercising in the water, which in itself is harder work than exercising on land to a certain extent. But most importantly, the way I use it a lot is for spinal cases with dogs, where they're not necessarily able to walk yet, but you can get them supported by the body of water and a therapist, and then you can encourage normal walking movement, which seems to stimulate that normal walking pattern much quicker.
So good success rates then in dogs with spinal injuries with hydrotherapy.
Yeah, really, really good success rate.
That's great.
Yeah.
And yes. And dare I ask, cats and hydrotherapy?
It is done. I'm not very brave in doing it, I'm not going to lie. But I do know of colleagues that get quite good results from doing that with cats. I prefer to keep my skin intact and opt for more home-based treatments for cats in general, where they're comfortable in their own environment. And that's where exercise therapy isn't just hydrotherapy. There's so many things that we can do to get the owners to do with treat stimulation or with toy stimulation, getting them to walk over things and under things and twist round and balance on things, which can be really useful for owners. And owners love doing that to get their animals better at home. And it's a nice thing for them to do to bond with their animals as well. It's a bit like training.
Well, I was about to say, it would definitely strengthen the really special bond, that human-animal bond. So I guess then therapies, are they probably performed in combination with each other then?
Often, yeah. So often you'll do, one or two or three of them all together, or you'll focus on one or two things, and then you'll get the owners doing more of the exercise therapy, land-based things at home. So you can get the most out of a session that way, and making sure that the animal gets the benefits of all those different types of treatments, if you've got time, and if it suits the animal. Like I said, it really depends on the individual if any of those, for a cat, for example, I wouldn't opt for hydrotherapy. I perhaps might be limited on how much manual massage therapy I can do. So I might spend a bit of time doing some laser therapy and then focus time doing exercise therapy, for example, because I'm going to get more out of that for that animal and that patient.
That makes sense. And then do you give ideas? Obviously you do, for the owners back home. So in terms of, I love the idea that you just said of getting the cats active, and whether that's with plays and toys, or, you know, do you create a schedule for them and say, look, we want you to kind of create this obstacle course for your cat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had one cat a while ago, amazing cat that had been hit by a car. Wow. And broken both of his back legs and his pelvis. And he took a long time to recover, and he had some pins put in, and then they had to have some pins taken out because they were causing rubbing and issues. And then we were trying to get him to use his back legs properly again. And the owners, they set up a whole sort of box castle where they had holes within the boxes, and the cat could climb up and down and wow. underneath, and using a laser pointer to get him to stretch up and stretch onto his back legs. And he just loved it. And he got completely better and was out hunting again within months of his injury.
God, that's incredible.
It's just great. And that's what really is one of the most rewarding things. Because with people, when you're treating people, it's partly dependent on them. You know, they've got to follow your advice and do the exercises. And they, when they get better, it's rewarding, and they often tell you so. But when you can get an animal better to that level of function again, when they really, you know, don't know themselves what they're doing, they're just basing it on instinct and you're relying on the owners, it's just that bit more rewarding, I think.
Of course it is. I'm starting to think there's a niche area for a form of physio where, like, we reward the people with treats and toys and play.
Well, maybe we should get the sweets and the wine out for some of the adults. Yeah.
Now you're talking. Oh, okay. I think we've covered most things there. Maybe just one or two quick questions that we can slot in. So you mentioned there about car injuries, but I hope you don't see too many of those. But what is the most common health condition that you treat?
The most common things that we see are cruciate ligament tears, also hip and elbow dysplasias and arthritis, spinal injuries and post operatively with those. We see quite a few neurological cases as well, those odd cases like Bricoon's disease, where there's really no medical or surgical management for them, and it's just a case of rehabilitation from when they are completely paralyzed to then getting them back to function again.
I mean, that's hugely rewarding.
Yeah, so rewarding, and they're probably one of the most rewarding cases that I get to treat. Although I love treating those oldies, the older dogs that are, you know, that are struggling to get around and get up, and then when you see them, you know, walking so much better and so much more comfortable, and then lasting for, you know, years on from where everybody thought they were going to last. And from a horse point of view, we see a lot of back pain because of, you know, riding them basically in saddles and poorly fitting saddles and the way that we ask them to perform for us, but also seeing sprains and strains and arthritic problems in them as well.
Wow, and good success rates with the ride therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's rare that we don't get good results with the ride therapy. It's when something's not quite adding up that we have to work closely with the multidisciplinary team, the vets, the other paraprofessionals within the team as well, to try and find out what's going on. And often when something isn't progressing the way it technically should, from our experience and from the evidence, there's usually something else going on, and that's where that close relationship between us physiotherapists and the vets go, you know, really works, because we can refer them straight back and they can then have a look a little bit closer at maybe why that's not improving
responding
the way it should.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. Mm. The last episode we recorded was all about arthritis, so I'm really interested to just pick up on what you mentioned there about dogs particularly and helping them with arthritis. So what specifically would you be recommending that people could maybe do at home with their aging pets?
I mean, the biggest thing is if you don't use it, you lose it. That saying is something I think I am a broken record on a weekly basis, is these older dogs, they may look at you with those puppy dog eyes like it's the worst thing that you're asking them to do is just to go outside to go for a pee. But actually, getting them to go outside, getting them to walk around for that little bit longer, or seeing if they're a bit more active, just maintaining those 20, you know, 10 to 20, even 30 minute walks, even if it's slower, even if you're driving them somewhere so that they can walk on easier terrain, it goes a long way. And exercises, I just give people simple exercises to do for a lot of these, particularly hind limb arthritic problems. Like sit to stand is such an easy thing to get them doing, and it's like doing doggy squats. You're really strengthening. And a lot of arthritis issues are because they're not using their muscles properly to mobilize the joints, and the joints may be arthritic but their muscles aren't supporting them. And if you get those muscles supporting them and the joints are used that little bit more, a bit more blood flow, the lubrication of the joints improved, and then it seems to have an impact on their pain, reducing their pain, reducing inflammation, and helping them to be more active and do the things that they love doing.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned the multidisciplinary team approach earlier, because we talked about the ACPAT website at the start of this episode, where people can find a local qualified pet physiotherapist for themselves and their pets. But do people actually need a veterinary referral before bringing their pet in to see a physio?
From the animal physiotherapy profession, legally, we have to have consent from the vets. For the vets to be referring to us makes that simplest, because if they can refer to us, that's automatic consent that the vet is allowing that animal to have physiotherapy. In the human world, we're autonomous practitioners, so we can just treat a person if they walk in our door. But with the animals, we have to have consent. So that's the first step is that initial relationship. And then once that's happened, either the owner gets in contact with us because the vets have given them our details, or they go on to find a physio on the ACPAT site, for example, and find their local physiotherapist, contact them. Then it's just a case of coming to the clinic, and we would then do a full assessment before we did any treatment options and discuss that entirely with the owners.
Oh, Hannah, you've been brilliant. It's been absolutely fascinating to chat with you. I'd love to spend a lot more time with you.
Thank you. That's been my pleasure. It's really, really lovely to talk about my passion and what we do.
Well, that's all for this episode of the Pet Pod. But don't forget, no one knows your pets like you do. So if you're ever worried or concerned about their health, please be sure to contact your local veterinary practice first. And to make sure that you receive the next episode, please do like and subscribe. And I want to say thank you again to YouMove for sponsoring today's episode, and thank you for listening.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.